podcast is part of the Sports Social Podcast Network.
I'm Sam Keir, host of Hitman for Hire, a year in the life of a franchise cricketer. For the past 12 months, I've been talking to T20 star David Visa, getting his take from behind the scenes at the IPL, the 100 and the rest of the world's biggest leagues.
That's the Don't Nearly View system, Diogo. There's no ways in my mind that was up.
These guys don't know how to win at this stage.
He had his driver pick him up in his Bentley.
People start chanting your name. You kind of have to pinch yourself.
Hitman for Hire, a year in the life of a franchise cricketer. Listen now, wherever you get your podcasts.
Sport Social.
Liverpool have beaten Arsenal by 5-1. This is the Anfield Wrap in association with Redbet, partnering with us for 2018. It's our last show of 2018. And we are very, very pleased to be talking about the league leaders, Liverpool Football Club, beating Arsenal 5-1. Ben Johnson, Philippa Smallwood, Rob Gutman and Carl Kopak. I feel like I'm just going to keep saying league leaders and 5-1, Rob.
Champions elect, mate. Can we be champions elect? I've started using that. You used it a few years back about Spurs, actually. Annoyed me, but now...
I used it about us first game of the season against West Ham. Are you comfortable around champions elect? All of a sudden, you are the old man of the sea.
I am the old... I was speaking to Philippa on the way in and saying I'm PTSD'd up 28 years worth of being let down by these shite hawks.
I love shite hawks.
And 2014 put the cherry on the cake. So I won't believe this until next season when we're in the Community Shield. Even the day we win it, I won't believe it's happened. We were walking around. And where do they play the Community Shield? Is it Wembley again?
Yeah.
It's none of our business, is it, that competition?
Not till next year.
No. So... yeah, but I'm very excited. I can't really function at the moment as such.
As the next old man of the sea, Carl, how are you getting on with the whole process? Do you feel as though we're going through? I mean, it's not. You were quite clear last time you were on. This is uncharted territory in a number of ways. Let's be clear about this.
I'm a little bit scared.
Are you?
Yeah, because
I love checking where people's bottle is.
Yeah, it's the big thing about yesterday for me was obviously the thing happened at Wembley, so Wolves get the win and. I'm in straight into panic mode thinking, imagine if this is the day we buzz it up and they're a good side and everything. So I walked out the ground thinking, we don't appear to have buzzed it up. And it's just, we are the bottleless side. I think they're a lot calmer than I am, which I think is a good thing.
It's about learning to trust. Honestly, I'm going through a whole trust process and conversations in my head and going, they just might not let me down. What if that happens? What if they just... You know how do we always assume there are the teams that win things? Yeah, the really good teams. And then there's us who can be good, but not properly good. We've never had properly good.
Champions.
Even 13... No, not...
Yeah.
I do remember what properly good was like. I do remember what it was like to trust the team. It's just about that memory still hanging in there from the 80s.
Yeah.
Wow, what a time. And... it was very strange. You go, no, we're good. So good, really properly good teams just go and win the next game. Bottle isn't an issue. And I think yesterday was a major test passed, really.
It was a major. I think, Philippa, it was the reaction to going 1-0. I think that's what defines the game, really, is it's essentially Roberto Firmino deciding he's sorting this out. And it felt like it was a good moment for him to properly come to this party. But it was... it was massive, I thought. The 1-0 down to 2-1 up, and you barely blinked.
Yeah, I think Roberto Firmino is probably the calmest person in the whole stadium at that point. I think when we went 1-0 down, there was kind of like this deathly silence. Like everybody just thinking, shit, here we go. You know, this is what we've all feared all along. And then after about 10 seconds or so, just this roar erupted, and it was like it was going... do you know what? Forget about all that. This is different this time. And it was just really good to see that the players, you know, there was no, like, going mad at each other. There was no, like, shrugging of responsibility or anything. They just went straight back to the halfway line. It was like, all right, then, we're just going to have to score at least two here. You know, there was no, panicking. You know, and we've seen that previously with, like, Liverpool sizes. When they've been in this sort of situation, you know, the doubts can creep into their minds as well as ours. And it's really, to be honest, it's a bit unnerving, the fact that it's not happening.
It is unnerving, yeah.
I'm just not used to this.
You go 1-0 down, Ben, and then you go 2-1 up. I think it helps that Arsenal just screamed vulnerability. Yes. They just screamed it from the kickoff. They screamed vulnerability. I think that helps the Liverpool team. But there was, I thought, a flip side in it, which is, we had a complete lack of vulnerability. Even having conceded, we felt invulnerable. And that was really strange. Normally, if you conceded, you know, the the idea of your own mystique has been punctured, etc., etc. I think getting it back to 2-1 so quickly does make a difference in that. But I just think in general, it's that it really was a sort of a, yeah, that's absolutely fine. That occasionally is just going to happen. But it's not going to happen again. Watch this.
I think what was as interesting for me is that the whole game was built around risk and reward, and Arsenal risked a lot to try and get something. So their first goal, they've got a fucking big press on, and they're wide open if we play out. And Lovren's pass is maybe a foot away from Liverpool being pretty much in, because Salah's getting that under control or whoever is down a wing, and it's popped off and we're in. And their press was so high that I think the thing that sort of makes you think this Liverpool side is a very good football side is that we got 1-0 down, they press again the same way, and we just play. And we try and we take a risk as well, because our risk is we're going to carry on playing.
Yeah.
We're going to carry on playing from the back, and you're going to press us, and that's absolutely fine. We didn't just start turning them round and launching it. We kept trying to play. Fabinho gave it away a few times because they were really pressing really high. Lovren gives another one away, which is like a big channel ball, which is very similar to the first. And we don't really panic. We don't worry about it. I think two things. Their goal's great goal. It's a fucking great goal. I mean, the ball, there's nothing anyone can do about it. You can look at Van Dijk and say, should he know where that lad is? But even if he knows where he is, he's not getting it. And so, you know, you look at this Liverpool side and you think, well, they've gone 1-0 down there. They weren't asked in the slightest. And I think, yeah, at the time of the goals, it wasn't allowed for any sort of pressure to build. But even if we hadn't scored, they'd have kept trying to break us down.
They wanted a mad game, didn't they?
They needed it, because they knew full well if they sit there, they're going to get beat. So they needed it to be mad. And Klopp says after the game, Klopp says it was wild because they wanted it to be wild, so we were wild.
Yeah.
And we are wild at them. And that's the thing with this Liverpool team, is you want to come and you want a mad game. Well, we twatted everyone last year having mad games. You want to come and sit in? All right, well, we'll just break it down. It's fine. You want to have possession against possession? That's fine. We'll beat you that way. We can beat everyone pretty much anyway. And that's the first time in my lifetime I've seen a Liverpool side be able to do that.
There was something they did. Shane, the manager says afterwards they wanted a wild game. I thought they're interested, Rob, and I think we might see a little bit more of it. We might see it done better. But they turned up to Anfield with loads of defensive players and played really attacking. That they had loads of lads in there who know how to win a ball back. Yeah. Loads of lads in there who know how to sit in if need be. But instead, they decided, as has been said, they thought our best way out, and I think it's really interesting, is to look to have a massive first 20, get all over them, try to physically match them for the first 20, do the mad stuff like the ridiculously high press, and then come from there. I think we're going to see more of that.
Yeah, yeah. What, from the opposition, you mean? Yeah, I know. I was thinking about how Guardiola will address this, because there is absolutely a case in point. A manager who's absolutely been frustrated by Liverpool. Liverpool are living in his head. He doesn't actually know tactically how to play it, so he may just go, what the fuck, let's just do this. I thought, well, Ben's analysis is just, that trumps it all for me. That's absolutely right. And for Fabinho, when he was giving it away, I thought, yeah, but it is a matter of small margins here, small margins all the time. And the ability to keep our heads around that. We were a bit like that against United in parts, I thought, a couple of weeks ago. Little bit against Napoli. We're not too worried, really, are we? I think a lot of it's to do with trusting the men behind now. I think, you know, if you do lose possession in the sort of in between the lines, okay, they're going to get a chance or a half chance against you. Not the end of the world, though, because Big Virg is there, because the keeper's there, because there's players who are playing with them are experienced now. And it took, despite Arsenal throwing caution to the wind, despite that high press, it took the ball of the season in a way. That tuck into the zone of uncertainty, where Andy Gray, Nobbed used to call it. Corridor of uncertainty.
Zone of uncertainty. Yeah. I haven't got a ring about
corridor
it.
Corridor of uncertainty.
The zone of uncertainty was in the Crystal Maze.
the corridor of innuendo. Let's find different words for it. It took that. But actually, you know, despite it being the loony game, I'm struggling to think, apart from when Aubameyang cleared off our line for us.
Which, by the way, I don't think we've all spent enough time talking about so far. That should just be firstly dominated the post-match show and should dominate this.
He was offside,
was he?
Yeah, he was offside.
Is that why he did it?
He gave it offside?
No, he didn't do it because of that. He didn't do it. He just completely
tries to put it in.
because he's mad. I don't know what
it was going in.
Yeah. It was a great wide. Clearance.
Was going to go wide. Yeah, yeah. All right, wide, okay. Yeah. From my angle, I thought it was going in, and then he kicked it. I mean, honestly, you just all take a breath. He kicked it off our line.
It's brilliant. Yeah, it's absolutely. It's a fantastic defensive clearance.
I was disappointed from, in a way when you saw the flag afterwards because I thought if we do win it, that's the moment. That's the moment you think some of the gods are with you, and that fucking happened.
Did you see the Aubameyang stat?
Oh yeah, with his heat map, touches. It's all on the kick. Have you seen the literal heat map?
Yeah, takes, that's amazing.
I think he touches the ball like 11
13,
times.
13 times,
and five are at
six,
the kick.
Six at the kickoff.
Yeah, six, because he's there at the one they score, yeah. So six at the kickoff, and his heat map's like this big Christmas
just a big yellow mark in the middle of the pitch, and little dots all over everyone else.
Well, yeah, two or three dots. It's just crazy. But the point was, they make no chances. And despite
they're not allowed
to. Yeah, they want to make it a 20-15 chance game and hope that the odds favour them, but it wasn't. They don't make chances. I heard Emery said in his post-match that the scoreline didn't reflect it. I thought,
not it.
Well, it kind of did, mate. I think if we had not had five for the 47th minute or
whatever
it was.
We had the last half hour off.
Yeah,
I mean that's how dominant it was.
Which was great before the City game,
yeah,
wasn't it?
Absolutely, yeah. We just passed it around, just looking at our watches at that point.
Well, first he'd have to make quite a case for them getting two. You know, sometimes it could have been 8-3. Well, I'm struggling to see where their two comes from because Aubameyang was offside, right?
Well, that's the thing, as you said before about trust in the team, but we don't give. I've seen a thing the other day about expected chances and expected goals against us. We don't give. We haven't given any. I think we haven't given more than two since we played Arsenal last time, and we don't give away chances. So if someone's going to score against us, it's got to be fucking really good.
Yeah.
Do you know what I mean? Their first goal, brilliant.
And
nothing you can do.
And it was, yeah.
And it was a great move, and they do really well. Okay, you may not want to give it away in the first place, but it's that risk-reward thing. Since then, we didn't give them one.
No.
That second chance they have is really well worked, and Ramsey's movement's really clever. Lovren knocks off a little bit, but he thinks Fabinho's going to mop him up. But it's such a good football team. It's fucking ridiculously, it's scary.
The second call is, there's a gorgeous picture where Firmino's got the ball and he's striking it, and their two lads are both completely sprawled on the deck.
It looks like there's four, doesn't it?
Yeah,
more or less
it looks crazy. It was Barnes Beardsley sort of territory for me. It's either Barnes QPR or Beardsley Arsenal going right the back to 87-88. It's just shifting his body, shifting his weight, and them. It was like they were almost running past him and falling over in this comic manner. It was brilliant.
Well, the first thing is, what's the third bloke doing on the floor? Because he doesn't even get to the ball. He just falls over anyway in the box. If you watch it again, so two fall over, go drunk. And one bloke just runs
just
like,
appears.
I'll just fall over as well then.
He just appears on camera, sliding on his front.
It's like a lot of our goals are like FIFA goals. You go, the player's got the ball, and it's like, two steps to the left, one step forward. You know, in terms of the way the joystick's got to work in these things, it's not fluid.
The joystick.
Well, whatever it is.
Just shoot someone playing FIFA with a fucking 64 joystick.
What's the modern words for it?
Keep going.
Thingy. But you know what I mean? It's even the bits where Andy Robertson's bursting through the midfield and we're spotting channels of space that I didn't think were there on a football pitch quite. Salah's found those 2 yards between, between the defender and the goal line. And he's there all the time. And he's either getting in and getting a shot in away at the near post, or you're tripping him up for a penalty. Andy Robbo's checking in field and finding a 40-yard channel of a vacuum that no one thought existed on a football pitch, surging into it.
It's what you can take from the second goal, and what Rob's saying there about Andy Robertson is, I'm stunned at times how much space we find. And this is up against a Newcastle side that plays 5-3-2, that it can go fill up from feeling like it can be a very congested game to all of a sudden Liverpool have got so much space. And it's almost either because the opposition have had to focus on other areas and can't cover over, or they just haven't got the legs to cover over. I think with Arsenal, a bit of it was sloppiness, obviously, and Liverpool taking advantage of it. But we seem to be so good at space at the minute.
We just seem to swarm teams, and I think that's what kind of comes across. It's like, we pounce on teams, and I think that's something that's really impressive for me, is we kind of like pick our moments as to when we're going to go, and it was almost like they got the goal, Arsenal, and then we kind of like went, right, we're going to have to pounce now. We only was going to do this in the 25th minute or whatever, but we're going to do it now. That second goal, it's absolutely stunning, to be honest.
It's a statement, I think. I think it's a real, it's like, we can do this,
Yeah.
Because normally our goals have got like one characteristic about them. I've never seen Fabinho go past people. And then, cause he's normally a first-time finisher, isn't he? He's normally, you know, a header or like a tap-in or something
like that.
It's
like a Suarez goal in a way.
Yeah. I think, no, I'm gonna do a bit of weaving here. I've never seen him do that before.
No.
And the finish is like a soft underhit pass into the net from 20 yards, yeah. Isn't it? It's ridiculous.
It is literally, I can do this.
Yeah.
Look, I can do this. You know, you're doing all the mad stuff up there. I'm just going to do this through the middle.
Yeah. But it comes from them trying to play.
Yeah.
With no protection. So yeah. They're wide open if they lose it. And that's a risk they're taking. And I think it's Torreira gives it away. I think
Sadio Mane picks
his pocket. And then he's the one who falls over trying to get back because it's a cock up. But you can, and they're used to playing against teams where they have all the ball.
And
whatever. And then they come against this Liverpool side. And they think, okay, well, we're going to have to try and press them because if we let them have the ball, we can't defend. Okay, so they try and press. And then the first time he gets his foot on the ball in probably 10 minutes, he has a touch, looks up. Mane, who previously probably hasn't really pressed because we haven't laid a trap, fucking on him in a flash. And he's like, oh, for fuck's sake. Can you fuck off?
Yeah.
Just give us a minute with the ball because when we go up there, we're getting no joy. And we just give me fucking 5 minutes. Yeah. Then he goes down, injures him for a bit, and just lies there.
Yeah,
and Adam said to me, he's having a breather. I was like, no, he's fucked.
Yeah.
But that's what's so impressive about us, I think. I just think, you know, your Guardiola, you said it before, how do you set up? He set up against us in the first leg. We were relatively happy with the draw at that point. I think both sides were. But he set up to stop us playing footy through the middle. And he set up to stop them playing footy through the middle because he didn't want to lose the ball. So how the fuck does he set up against us when he needs to make it a mad game? What does he do?
I don't think he will. So I think he'll be happy. I think he'll want to play in patches. So if you're asking me that now, I think if you're them, you're almost, so it's almost like setting traps, but it's actually over periods of the game. So almost like there's a signal from the sidelines, right? We go mad for 5 minutes.
Yeah.
Then we go back to the other thing and we're going to do that for a bit and then we're going to go mad. So they might start mad, look to shut it down, look to then go again, do another really intense five, and then look to shut it down. And that's what I think they'll do. I think they'll look to play on and off, if you know what I mean. Really play. And if we get nothing, it's fine, boys. We're going to do this 6 times through the course of the game. 4 first half, 2 second half. That's how we're going to look after our energy. I mean, I'm saying all this before they get legged everywhere by Southampton this afternoon. We're recording before then. Before Danny Ings.
Before Danny Ings has scored 15.
Yeah.
And picking the bones of Guardiola's jumper.
Yeah.
I just don't want them to absolutely murder Southampton today. It'd be beyond... I know we're speculating on something people know the result of, but beyond ridiculous if Southampton get something off them in terms of...
Because when you think about it, they're a brilliant football team.
Yeah. I just don't want them to roll up on one of their 5-0 aways and so they reboot themselves just in time for us. I want us to be playing them at the right time to be playing.
As long as they have to work their socks off, I'm fine with this game. It can be any outcome they want as long as you're watching it thinking, God, they've had to work for that. So whatever they get, God, they've had to work.
It's fucking miles away as well, Southampton.
It is a long way away.
So whatever they do to get, they probably fly. But it's still miles away. Oh, but fucking big fog comes down. Fucking ash clouds or something.
Freezes that sticks them in Southampton. They're left there hitchhiking back.
To get a fucking old bus back.
Yeah.
There's only rooms at the Travel Lodge.
Etc, etc.
Aguero and Jesus are sharing the same double bed. And they don't get
it. Someone else is on the sofa bed. It's crap.
who's playing left back for them, by the way?
Digging into the back. I reckon it'll be Zinchenko today. I don't know who it'll be against us. I think he might do Laporte against us, but I think it'll be Zinchenko today.
It's a fucking fantastic game to watch, that Liverpool game. It's fascinating as a spectacle. You know, remove yourself as a fan, watch that game of footy, because it'll just be dead interesting. Anything could happen. They could turn up. They're a very good team. They could beat us.
They could beat us 4-0.
We could swat them. We could win 1-0.
Do you know what I'm going to say now? And I'm going to tempt fate here, and this is about the trusting. No, they can't beat us 4-0. I've said that every other season we've played. Not every season we've played them over the last four. We can win 4-0. They could beat us 4-0. Right, mainly the former likely to happen. No, they can't beat us. Thrash us now.
Don't you think?
No, I think we're too good.
Unless
we get a man sent off.
I think also, my thing on them is I think that they can take a game away from anyone and I'd say anyone on the planet in 10 minutes. That's what worries me more. It's not the idea of... I don't think they beat us 4-0.
You just described us more than them.
But I think we can take a game away from you in 10 minutes. That's the thing. That's why I do think... I still think that is possible. I think it's possible that both sides play perfectly well and one beats the other 4-0 or 4-1 or something like that. I think it's perfectly possible both teams play well. But you are talking about two sides who can just take a game away from you in 10 minutes.
Yeah.
And I think that is still the thing. Whether or not they can get themselves sufficiently frenzied is a different matter. And I think that's their bigger problem.
They've been going full pelt and we've been fucking...
We're all over the place here, but we're very excited, so that's fine. I think they've been going full pelt for 2 years. That's my full pelt thing. I don't think it's just now. I think Guardiola starts... I think you can almost mark it from his first season when he realises that he's not going to win that league that year ahead of that Chelsea team. And for instance, they go to Goodison and get beat 4-1.
Yeah.
But I think he's doing loads of work behind the scenes with them. Like, almost the training's becoming more important than the matches, because we'll just get through the matches and we'll qualify for the Champions League, lads. We're more than good enough. I think he started absolutely working them into the ground then, and we're now 2 years on from that. And I just think there's a few of them who are like, God, this is hard.
I think he's trying to make them more Klopp than Klopp. I think he's tried to make them like the Dortmund teams that were his nemesis, well, to a degree, back in Germany. I can't remember. I've watched City closely over the last couple of months in particular. It's been a better time to be watching them. Last 6 weeks, and I noticed they don't turn up in second halves the same way they turn up in first halves. It's all about blowing you away. They remind me of the Rodgers 14 team. They remind me of Klopp's team of last year, maybe the year before, that... It's all about, you know, our team against Roma, we will blitz you in 55 minutes and then we've got nothing and you can get goals back against us. We're not like that now. We seem to be able to play in phases, but they play like we did. And I think...
But they were playing like that last season. That's my point. I think you were seeing that the second half of last season. You know, there's the old United comeback.
Sure.
The batty United. It's only 2-0 at half-time. It should be 6. It genuinely should be 6.
Second leg against us, Neil. Look at that. That first half was the most terrifying thing I've ever had to watch a Liverpool team put up with. And we're only one down. But second half, they had nothing. It was easy, wasn't it, really, looking back on it?
The built-in image of the manager... And the manager, I think, is a bit of a shithouse who doesn't like pressure. So he builds his sides to never really have to deal with pressure because they win the league by middle of Feb. And everyone knows they're going to win the league. And what you're seeing now is...
I mean, he is a genius.
Oh, of course he is. He's one of the best football managers in the world.
I prefer shithouse to genius.
But he doesn't like pressure. And someone could come on here and argue with me, and I'll fucking argue all day.
You only see him on the touchline, don't you?
The touchline, the half-time against Liverpool last year when he didn't get the second, his head goes because he knows that pressure's coming in the second half. The documentary, when he's talking about Liverpool, he doesn't like pressure. He doesn't like being challenged. And he's built a team in his own image, and they don't like pressure, and they're going to be fucking put up.
He leads from the front as well, doesn't he? He really likes to lead from the front. So when they're second in the league, this is new ground for him. He's not used to this. He's not being behind in a championship race. What's up? I think that's massive.
I don't know what's going on. I tell you what I do think
at stake here. If we can get to the other side of that with a lead that still feels ugly to him, a lead that I think 4 points in this past, we'd all have fucking taken hands off for 4 point leads weeks ago. But if we could maintain this 7 or even a 6 point lead the other side of it, I think in a private moment, he's saying to himself, it's about the Champions League for us this season.
I think he might be all right.
I think the minute he makes that switch in his head, somehow that will get communicated and that will be when it's ours.
Well, I think this is why it's for us now, it's about us burning them off.
So I
get into mid-February and then people are all having to make some logical decisions, which may not be very nice, but... I think that's the thing that we're in this for. To try to talk about the Arsenal game, because we're so excited. So I think it's crackers. You know, I think it's absolutely mad. People have got to go to work on Friday. It's like a working day. It's like a day that people have jobs that they've got to go to on Friday. And I just think that someone's got to step in here. But you don't have much of this government. God knows they let us down in almost every other front. But someone's going to have to do something about Friday and just declare it a bank holiday of some description.
Yeah.
Can Evertonians not go in for us?
Well, that's Paul Cope thing. Speak to your blue and work. Get him to cover your work Friday morning. Philip Wijnaldum's performance is, I think it's one of the best central midfield performances at Anfield I may well have ever seen, certainly in a game of that significance and magnitude. I think it's partly because Fabinho was having an occasionally slightly difficult time for the first 20 minutes or so. But even beyond that, I think Wijnaldum's just, he's just ever present, if you know what I mean, across the whole pitch.
I think it's one of those where maybe you needed to be in the ground to really appreciate it. Everybody around me was just like, Wijnaldum's on fire here. He's just, he was mopping everything up. He was just controlling things. He was like batting people off left, right and centre. There was no taking the ball off him. Just a really controlled, assured central midfield performance that I'm not sure I can ever remember witnessing. Even like when we had Alonso and Gerrard in the middle of the pitch, I don't think I ever remembered them having such control over what was going on in that area.
It's, I talked before, Carl, about this Liverpool team and its relationship with space. And that's where I think Wijnaldum, I think you're beginning to, being able to see it more and more this season. I think at times last season, he maybe did go missing a little bit, or it looked like he went missing. I don't know whether our appreciation's better or it's just clearer. Now when you're watching it, you've got enough information. But I just see a man who just appreciates space so much in a way which it isn't 60-yard balls of Alonso or driving runs of Gerrard. It's just someone who knows exactly where he needs to be at all times and is in that place.
I think the best thing about it yesterday, it's his decision-making more than anything else. He's just... He always seems to know where the pressure's coming from. We had a few men on shouts yesterday, which I really enjoyed. Not enough of those in the game these days. And he didn't have to do it with it, because, you know, so he's letting the ball go across his body when he needs to. He always knows where the simple pass is, and I don't think he made a bad decision once. And I was saying to my mate coming out, it's really weird when you see a man score a hat-trick in a game and he's not man of the match. And that's how good he was yesterday. And I think three or four times this season I've said, like, you know, that's Wijnaldum's best ever game in Liverpool shirt. And that was yesterday.
What's different about him is he's a technical player playing. You know, he's brought up as a wide attacking forward, isn't he?
Yep.
And he brings that to this sort of robustness he's got as he's matured as a player. So whereas 80% of his ilk, the best versions of his ilk, playing in those deep centre mid positions, if you're trying to come out, you get a ball into their feet, their instincts are to try and lay an easy ball back the direction it came. Let's just keep it ticking over. Let's come out slowly. But he can let a ball go across him. He can shift his hips. He's got feet like Mane has in a certain sense. And that gets you out very, very quickly. That's what you can see it in Naby. You can see what Klopp wanted in Naby Keita. It's a similar sort of thing. You can actually see it in Fabinho in a different way as well. Klopp wants players who can, it's different. It's interesting. I always thought the purest form of football was the sort of football I grew up watching Liverpool play, which is one touch football. But this is three important touch football, three touches that get you up the pitch. They've all got to be able to do that, I think, to be part of this squad.
It's part of that risk. It's the risk.
Yes.
And you're enticing. Come on, come and get it. Come and get it.
Yeah.
And then what Wijnaldum's brilliant at is rolling people
and
enticing them on and taking two men off the game and we're in.
Yeah.
And you've carved open a whole pitch. And you're right, it is what Klopp wants, I think, in all of his midfielders, with the possible exception of Henderson when he plays that deeper role and he's asked to just sort of be a bit, you know, metronomic and move it out and get it away from the centre of the pitch a little bit. That's what he wants. He wants the ability to entice people onto him. And as you say, Fabinho's good at it as well. In a strange way, because the size of his legs. Almost.
Yeah.
Do you know what I mean? It's not in a very graceful way sometimes, but he somehow comes out the other side with the ball.
Yeah. It can be a bit Vieira-like if you're talking about striding midfielders. Yeah.
It's all the space thing, though, Ben, I think, as well. It is that sort of the... You can see the filling in. You know, you saw, for instance... Like, you get the impression that if you were to freeze frame the video and say to Wijnaldum, where's everyone? He's able to say, well, this is where they should be. And therefore, if they're all there, then I need to be in this place. And it does that. It is that reliance on they're all where they should be. There should be parties important, and they're getting better and better at where they should be. But it is also that he just knows, he's just constantly taking little looks like, right, everyone is in this position, so I now need to be here.
Yeah, it is. It's the foundation on how we play, on Robertson being able to go and find them 40-yard patches of spaces because Wijnaldum's done something to A, either move a man out the way, or B, fill in for them, or play the ball in the right area, or whatever it is. It's intelligence. It's game intelligence that you can't measure, really. You know, you can't. There's no staff for it. He'll never get player of the year off anyone. He'll never get player of the month, even. Because he will never have these sort of purple patches where it's obvious to everyone. He's the opposite of your match of the day player. You know, he's no other clubs want to buy him because they don't see what he does.
You know, no other club's fans. Whereas every fucker wanted to buy John Riise, and he was absolutely the opposite of Wijnaldum, the stupidest man ever to put on a Liverpool top.
I think he's the opposite of actually Andy Robertson, who's in a certain sense like that. I think he's one of the best players I've ever seen, where you're not quite sure, where he hasn't got world-class end product, and there's nothing wrong with his end product at all, but you don't see, like, I was talking to Julo, who sat next to me at the game yesterday, he goes, he's like Stevie Nicol. He's not like Stevie Nicol, though. He's becoming as good as Andy Robertson.
Right.
Because Stevie Nicol would score a goal or, I don't know, do something that would end up on Match of the Day. But Andy Robertson, it's all just, I don't know, it's everything but. That's really running out of words to put.
No, it's the pass before the pass. And you get to see it yesterday. Yeah. I think it's the pass before the pass, for instance, for the third. The pass before the pass, it's him who gets Salah in and puts Salah in that brilliant position, and then Salah squares it up for Mane. So Salah ends up with the assist. But it's Andy Robertson's pass before the pass that opens him up. And it's the run before the run as well, Philippa. You know, I think it's there's a real selflessness about Robertson, everything he does in that. A lot of it is, they know I'm good enough to be able to deliver something, but these lads are much better at it. So if I run here, I'll create some space for one of these lads to do something brilliant.
It's a bit of a strange player for me, because there's been times this season where I felt he's not quite been at the level that he was last season. But I think you're right. I think his intelligence is something that astounds me, really. He always seems to know what to do in the right moment. So, you know, if he needs to stay back, he'll do that. You know, if there's a chance that he can get the ball further up the pitch, he'll just make that little dart up there and try and get the ball back. He makes unselfish runs, like you say, to make space for other players. That ball to Salah yesterday, I'm not sure there's any other fullback who could have made that pass, maybe even Trent. You know, we've seen him do that sort of thing. But to just, when you're in that position and the Arsenal players are charging out at you, normally you would see the last man pass it back to the keeper and just go, right, we'll go again from there. But to just look, see that Salah was in that space and just put it right on the end of his toe to set up that third goal was just spectacular.
Has anyone noticed how that goal is becoming a goal that we're clearly working on? The Robertson goal, the second phase of play from a set piece. It's almost like we're contriving the breakdown because it draws them naturally out and creates this chance that we've got forward third man running momentum the other way.
We did it a few times as well before the goal.
Yeah.
I mean, we had quite a few drag it across the... Yeah.
We did it twice. Two goals at Wolves are that, aren't they? It's clearly something really, really clever we've worked on.
Yeah.
On the Robertson thing and Trent, I thought both Maitland-Niles and Iwobi actually played quite well.
Yeah,
Carl, I thought Iwobi was excellent.
Yeah,
really was.
Played quite well, and played quite well on both of them at different times. But again, there's a level-headedness. I think this manager's fascinating in that I get the impression he probably tells his players, you're not always going to come out on top. You're not going to come out on top every single time you have a duel. This is back to the Guardiola thing. You know, we're not here to try to get you to be perfection. It's more that you're going to work it out over time and you're going to have the best of your contest over the course of the game. Don't worry if your opposite number gets the best of you once or twice. You'll sort that out. That's the thing I get from them, because it would have been easy to end up in a situation where either Maitland-Niles or Iwobi has either of them on toast all game, and that doesn't happen. They get a little bit of help, someone comes over, they sort it out is my thing, and they don't get overwhelmed by, God, this lad's having a really good game against me.
It's trust, isn't it? It's just trust. The manager knows, you're bright enough to know what to do this. You know how to handle this situation. And you're right, there's such an intelligent team, and I don't think we get enough credit for that. We're just dead fast or anything like that. We're such a clever team, the way we work things out. Robertson was getting over, he was getting overran a bit. Obviously, the first goal's down his side. And as it were, his ball, in fact,
I think it is.
Across, it's a hell of a ball, that. But then you don't see him do it again.
Yeah.
You know, we just pull a bit wider, or, you know, or the defence comes over just a little bit more to stop the gap.
It's part of that. It's part of the you know, the way Klopp's teams are formed. It's everyone's as important as everybody else. And it's almost like, listen, Trent, we're going to have to sacrifice your own personal performance a little bit first 20 minutes, because this is what they're going to do. But here's the rewards of us if we let him roast you a few times. Or, you know, if we don't really protect you so much. Because as soon as you pull, you know, say we had a very reactive manager and the game plan was the game plan, but then Iwobi's having a blinder. You pull in someone else, Fabinho, say, or whoever.
You need to go and stand next to him.
You're killing your own game plan. Yep. And it's all about, look, you're going to have to fight your own battles here. and I trust you to do well. But if you rush it, don't worry about it, because it's part of this whole plan to allow us to play. And him being confident on the ball will enable us to pass around him in a minute, because he thinks we're going to cock up, or he thinks he's having a blinder or whatever. Clever.
I think there's something on... You look at them across the pitch, Philippa, there's no resting on laurels. I think that's a really, you know, and it's epitomised for me this by Salah, in that it would be very, very easy for Salah to have remained last season's Mo Salah, to have the game, broadly speaking, keep going the same way. And instead he looks like he's personally pushed himself to become this really weird all-action number nine. Mm. It will do a bit of everything for you, you know, up to and including winning his physical battles. It's... You get the impression for all of them, it is they're committed to this constant personal development as part of the collective development. But Salah is the one where yesterday you just got to see this proper number nine performance.
I don't think I've ever known a manager to change players' positions and roles within a team as much as what Klopp does. And it, you know, Salah, you know, you wouldn't have ever dreamed that any manager would look at the way that he played last season, all the goals that he scored, and would go, do you know what? We're going to move you. We're going to do something a little bit different with you. Everybody would think you'd be absolutely crazy to even consider because to do works. Anything like that.
I think to start the season, I sat here definitely and said, why the fuck's he playing Salah up front?
Yeah.
Like, what's he doing? Why's he playing Firmino all day? Fucking head case.
Yeah.
He was doing it with Salah a bit at the end of last season. I didn't like it. When I remember going to West Brom and he was playing him there, and I thought, this just looks like it's the Mo Salah show now, and I don't think this works. But he obviously knew what he was doing.
That played 21 17 year old coming back in.
Yeah. Sorry,
he's had our keks off again.
It is, though. It's just crazy, isn't it? You know, it's something that you wouldn't ever consider doing. You know, dropping Firmino deeper, you know, you'd look at it and you'd go, you're going to miss out on him running defenders ragged up at the top.
Mm.
But what it's actually doing is it's making us a more solid side and, you know, giving teams another question to answer. You know, you might look at it and you go, you know, people have seen us play like this last season. People know how to stop us now. You know, they've looked at, you know, what we do. And it's Klopp asking another question and going, well, actually, this season I'm going to do this.
For the maddest thing he did, which is it got quickly consigned to anybody, to the dustbin of sort of inquiry, was taking our player of the season in 6-17, Sadio Mane, right winger, comes in, tears it up, makes us a different attacking proposition. One season at it, now, fuck off over to the left. We've got someone else to do that. It was insane if you think about it, apart from the fact that Ferry puts on the right side and he scores 45 goals.
Yeah.
And Mane's still great.
But the other thing you've done with Mane, Carl, and I thought, again, you got to see it quite markedly yesterday, was there is times where Mane's now just playing centre-forward next to Salah.
Yeah, loads of times that happened yesterday.
Yeah.
And again, that's what you were saying before, Ben, about who'd you pick up there then? If you're the opposition, what are you doing there? I'm on Mo Salah, but Mo Salah's now miles over there, and this lad's now playing centre forward on his own, and he's going to move again in 10 minutes. So then what do you do? What's your plan then?
It's so fluid, because then you look at the chance Salah gets where he miscontrols it in the second half, where he's in the run. Thingy plays that, Shaqiri plays that ball too.
Yeah,
Dan Sargent. And you forget his role in this team, that sort of centre mid, right wing, number 10, number 8, whatever he is. You know, you said, well, I can't pick him up because I'm picking up Firmino because he's not playing up front no more because Salah is.
Yeah.
All right, well, I'll get him. You go over there. Okay, well, the next minute, Salah's on the right and Firmino's up top and Mane's left and we've gone to this, you know, traditional formation. It's very difficult to set up against.
Yeah.
I think you see it at times, Justine. It was almost like we were playing, and this is back to the importance of Robertson in the counterintuitive way. It was like we were playing a right back, a right mid, and a right side of forward in Salah at times. And there's some sort of point where if you decide to do that, and this is back to your risk reward thing, Ben, but if you decide to do that, you completely shatter what they want to do. If you do your bit well, and suddenly, well, hang on, now we've got to have our shape be asymmetrical just because their shape's asymmetrical. But we don't like that, really. That's not very nice. I think it's really, you know, I think that's a really difficult thing to deal with. And then if you begin to deal with it, well, we can just change it all around again for a minute. And then you go, well, hang on, we've just put all of our fellas on that side. Yes. put all our lads on the left here, and suddenly now they've all gone the other side and we don't quite know where we're all meant to be. But I think it's back to backing your shape even when it's not quite working, even when someone's having a bad 5 minutes or finding it hard.
And that, like, there was an example of this happening. Who was it? Was it Southampton? At home, I think, Was it Southampton? Yeah, Southampton. We set up a first time we sort of tried. I think we had Shaqiri in the diamonds. We're still trying to find this formation, I think. And Hughes had clearly set up to play the 4-3-3, to play against the 4-3-3. But like this is like, and then we set up this formation. We go through up. We're quite exposed. So then Hughes goes in half time, changes his whole shape to set up against this mad fucking weird diamond.
I've sorted it now, yeah.
And we come out 4-3-3, we take off Shaqiri, scored two goals or whatever. Yeah. Imagine being him. But that's like a really obvious example of what we're doing now with this shape that we've managed to acquire. But we're doing that every 5 minutes.
They're very two-footed, our lads, to a degree. I know they've all got favoured foot. You know, Salah prefers a certain side, so does Manny. But you look at the technique level. When the ball's just pinged in, they can go either way at all times. Mane's technique. Have you seen Match of the Day did a very good sort of thing on Mane yesterday? I thought, glad my eyes didn't deceive me because he was unbelievably good.
Mm. He was unbelievably good. He also only got 60, which I thought was noticeable. Mm. Mane often does not get taken off, but he only got 60, which I think was a real... probably one of the first times we've seen that, I think, Rob, with Mane and Salah, I'd say. Mane and Salah tend to stay on. Salah stays on again, gets the full 90. You feel as though that's the manager almost trying to say, you're learning how to do this every minute you're on the pitch. This is actually more valuable for me, you learning whilst playing, than it is anything we can do in training. You're still working this position out, so the more you play it, the more you're going to work it out. But I think, Carl, you know, the manager gets, we said before, he gets the half an hour off that he probably would have dreamed of. And they do really very much just sort of, I think they're strolling around all second half, to be honest, but when they get the pen, it very much is the end of the affair.
Well, we were saying outside that we finished the game with the 2016 team on the pitch, pretty much. Henderson, Lallana, Klein, you know, and it's just a great position to be in. I think Mane might play against Man City. That's my prediction.
The interesting thing was, I mean, at the time, I Klopp alluded to this, I can't stand it when the ball's given to a lad to complete the hat-trick because it so often gets missed. It does my head in that. And see Klopp in the post-match, he was being a bit, I'm sure he's bullshitting. You know,
he was fuming at the time.
Yeah, he was fuming. And then he tried to turn it around because what he wanted to do was take, what they basically did is they mutinied on him there quietly and went, what they actually did was show Arsenal total disrespect. Yeah. I think in a way, you know, the Liverpool teams of recent years, you couldn't trust them a 4-1. This team trusted itself so much at 4-1 it took the piss. I don't think the team, a Rodgers team or even a Klopp team last year, trust itself to take the piss at 4-1. But at 4-1, they took the piss and risked missing that penalty. But it goes in, and Klopp knew he'd had power taken from him in that moment and tries to take it back in his post-match by going, this is the most beautiful thing this season. Yeah. These guys love each other. See how the love I've created.
Again.
Goes,
I bet he
goes, exactly, yeah.
Quite seething.
It'd be fucking, he'd give them a bollocking over that, I think.
Yeah, I think so too.
Then we did a bit of Storage to him in the derby when Storage had two goals.
Yeah, and he missed it.
Yeah,
exactly. Yeah.
Fucking hell.
Yeah, you still have to
stop
that.
I'm still angry at that.
You get 3 pints into Steve Graves and talks about that. He's ready to glass you. He's so angry about it. Gerrard should have said to them, Gerrard should have said to Sturridge, I'm taking this pen because what's going to happen is we're going to go 5-0 and you're going to get another 7 goals, lads. So just hang on.
You're not declaring on 3. No chance.
Klopp moaned about Bobby not being so good on the training and on the penalties. Salah, how the hell he gets the penalty job? He's fucking terrible at penalties. Yeah. He's awful.
It's the keeper, doesn't he? I didn't know what it the keeper is.
It's his back.
You just stand still and put your hand out. That's my keeper tip for Salah. You'll save most of them.
Can we cut that?
Just on that take the piss thing a little bit, on that sort of, Rob, that sort of disrespect, I think you actually saw, the other thing I think you got to see yesterday when he came on was Henderson enjoy himself. And I mean that in quite a sort of a, like, he very much often has the job of being the grown-up on the pitch. And I actually thought that it wasn't just a miss and then letting onto the cop as they took the piss out of him. But I think that helped. But I think you actually got to see him sort of, that ball he plays to Salah.
It's ridiculous.
It's absolutely ridiculous. And it really did seem like he was able to just sort of cut loose a little bit and bomb on, and a couple of shots in there as well as the one he blazed over. He looked sort of just like, this is a laugh, isn't it, really, sometimes?
I think the getting that nice clear brief when he came on would have helped. Not just, often it's like, just don't, you know, protect us. We, you know, we need an extra body. But he takes Shaqiri off for Henderson, don't they? I think that's what happens.
No, it's Manny Henderson.
Is it Manny? Okay, Manny, but he switched. But he basically, we stopped from being a 4-2-4 team, however you want to dress it up, into a, being a solid 4-3-3 again. And so he's given the job. And suddenly Arsenal, from having had the space, because Iwobi was doing bits, and suddenly there's no half spaces left. And Henderson, you know, Henderson can trust himself when to go and when to stay.
It comes on, it's noticeable. You're right, they were having a little bit of the ball. And we were having to move. We were having to run, basically, you know, to keep our shape and to stop them from probing. He comes on and wins maybe four or five tackles in the space of about 3 minutes and then start bollocking people.
Yeah.
You know, get tight. And you can see him screaming, and he's, they've got a throw in. Everybody else is sort of knocked off. And his brief is, lads, get on there and get a fucking rocker up them, get the ball back and keep the ball, because you'll keep your legs nice and fucking fresh to run all over Guardiola's big soft head.
It was a hell of a shot, though, wasn't it?
Oh, it's hysterical.
Fantastic.
There was no outcome that wasn't brilliant. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah.
I'd swat this 50 yards over the bar and buying us 25 seconds to just get our shape. This goes in the top corner. It's magic. Equally,
and also
good.
It's 5-1.
And also it's 5-1, so it doesn't really matter.
Nothing matters.
No.
You can have shots then. You can have shots then. I'm very relaxed about shots at 5-1 up.
I think since the derby and Pickford gate, I think since that moment, the cop will always forgive a wild slice at it.
Well, are we talking about this, though? If that ball comes to you there, you've got to have a go at it, haven't you?
Nah.
You've got to have a go at
you're
that.
You're at it, nah.
Because it's going to be. You should score one. Actually, I saw that again when I watched it this morning. Salah would be in the assist of the season.
Yeah,
you seen that one
when
he just flicks it around the back and Fabinho's in.
Yeah. Oh, yeah, that's right. He drills it down, yeah.
They were all very good. There is. It's interesting, a little bit of Nathaniel Clyne cameo that we're getting. Again, it's legs, Rob. It's. How do we just sort of limit the damage on Robertson? When's he going to be most vulnerable? I think also, I didn't think he'd pick Firmino today, but I made up he did because they got all three. But I wonder whether or not there's some players where I think you can trust Salah and Mane as examples to manage themselves, to manage the minutes, if you know what I mean.
Yeah,
whereas
yeah.
I think Firmino and Robertson, basically the only way to stop them from running loads is to take them off.
Yeah, I agree.
And I think that's why, you know, you see those subs made. I think Robertson gets taken off because he's almost like, I don't want you running around for 10 more minutes. You might be fine off the back of it. You might feel like you're fine. But the only way I can stop that from happening isn't to tell you not to do it. It's to bring this other fella on.
Yeah, I totally agree. And you need to give people like Clyne minutes. I mean, Clyne only has the United game, doesn't he? And he's clearly a good player still and can do something for us. So I think he's going to get full night. I'm really looking forward to now? Forget City. I'm looking forward to Wolves in the Cup. I want to see all those boys doing bits. I want to see Adam Lallana running the show. I want to see the Shaq.
Is it interesting that Moreno doesn't come on? Clyne does.
He's injured.
Oh, is he?
Yeah, yeah.
He's not in the squad.
Okay.
He's injured at the minute.
That's just like shit there.
Yeah, and he just got that off quick.
Sorry,
Lallana's little cameo, though, as well, is there's going to come some sort of point, Carl, where Lallana, I think, is going to play a bit more of a part than maybe we would have expected. Again, I thought he was really bright. I think you can see him doing a little bit of a shoot around the gaff. He looks sharp to me.
Yeah, I thought he was, yeah. He's he kept the ball well, I thought, as well, when you know, they tried to overload him a bit, when Arsenal finally sort of decided to try and win the midfield. And, he had a decent run down the left as well, as I remember. But I think his time is going to come. I think for the time being, it's just going to be things like this, and it's 20 minutes against Burnley or something at home.
There's a lot of lads who you trust.
He's going to win the FA Cup as well.
In this squad, who have not got a lot of minutes in their legs this season.
Yeah.
I was thinking about this. You know, Keita, Fabinho, Trent hasn't had a lot, really.
Origi's done nothing since Burnley.
Yeah.
Not been on.
Lallana, Shaqiri, there's quite a few, Trent Alexander said, there's quite a few you can just drop in second half of the season. Gomez now, because he's had this big rest. We've all had effectively extended mid-season breaks. You look at it sort of last third, you go, there's a lot of changes you can make for that period.
There's a lot of legs left in a lot of fucking players. And also, there's a lot of players in the starting 11. Like Van Dijk started every game. Didn't break sweat on.
He doesn't run, does he?
On
Saturday. He just doesn't run.
Doesn't need to. He's so good. He's just so good. He's the best centre half I've ever seen play footy.
Yeah, the only time I've seen him need to run this season was that Dana Traore tried to have a little go at him.
Yeah. We talked about that.
The take the piss, catch up and dispossess. it's the greatest thing I've ever seen a centre half do that.
He just stares him out as he's running along next to him.
I remember seeing Mark Lawrence caught up. Who was it? One of Ipswich's speed merchants of 1982, Eric Gates or someone that was clean through at the cop end in a big, big game with us and Ipswich are going head and head for the title. And he's got 3 yards on Lawrenson, and Lawrenson just overtakes him, hooks the ball round, gets it, he falls over and goes up the pitch. And that's the best thing I ever saw a centre-half do until that night.
It is interesting on the minutes. I actually got pulled it up a minute ago to go through. The maximum, according to the Premier League website, Philip, and anyone could have played is 1,800. So Alisson has played 1,800. That's complete in every game. Liverpool have, at this stage of the season, and this is 20 games in, Liverpool have actually only got, it is 10 players who are totaling more than 1,000 minutes. So I haven't felt like we've rotated that much. But the flip side of this is that, you know, the available, in fact, I'll say 900 minutes. There's only 10 players who've completed more than 900 minutes, which is half the available time on the Premier League pitch. So it's slightly skewed in that we know Henderson's been really important for him at Europe, but Henderson's only on 873 at this stage. Shaqiri only on 806. Fabinho 772. Keita 742. Lovren 720. And then there's another big dip to the 16, 17, 18, 19 lads who are all less than 300. The point is that there is a lot of football that these players haven't played, and they've all got a role to play, and that's what's exciting. Whoever clicks in, you see them come in, click in, settle and go from there.
I think that's the thing. You know, we're trying our best, I think, not to get carried away here, but everywhere you look...
Sorry.
But everywhere like you look, there's just nothing but positivity, isn't there? You know, you look at that and you think you can't see the players running out of steam. You know, you'd look at, like, Man City, say they're struggling a little bit at the moment, you know, mainly down to injuries possibly, but Spurs yesterday, you know, fell off a cliff in the second half. It's true, though, isn't it? They were absolutely shattered. And, you know, that's what comes from playing the same players every single game and not having players who you can bring in, who you feel you can trust. And you really feel that everybody's pulling in the same direction. Even players who've only played 300 minutes... you feel like they feel they've got a role to play in this, however big or however small, and that they're willing to do whatever's required to help.
It was mad on match today watching how penned in Tottenham looked, Carl. I know we're getting off the points a little bit here, but I couldn't get over it. I was like, I just sort of presumed, oh, well, it'll be in a bit of a 50-50 game, a bit of a back and forth, and then, you know, Wolves have made it 1-1, and then it's gone from there, and sometimes a game can get away from you. They were in their own box. You can sometimes get misleading highlights, but it looked like they were just in their own box for the whole of the second half.
And I think it all speaks volumes as well that if Tottenham lose, it's 1-0, 2-1. They don't go down 3-1. And 3-1 doesn't speak. We haven't got legs to do this.
I think, you say don't get carried away. But when you look at everything that's happening, like external factors are playing a big part in helping Liverpool this season. Like Liverpool's fixture list was a gift. Over Christmas, it's a fucking
gift. The way television moved the games,
The TV moved the games, it's almost like we've said. They are, but 4 days in between each one, or 5 days, or whatever it is. I think Tottenham played 4 games in 10 days.
Yeah.
It's impossible. You fucking can't do it. And it's no surprise that last 20 minutes yesterday, they're done, because they only played the other day. And they're knackered, and they all only played a few days before that. And the next game they play, I don't know who it is, but they'll be knackered again. Because
they've got to go to Cardiff at R5 on New Year's Day, and I just couldn't be bothered if I was there.
When's New Year's Day? Tuesday?
New Year's Day is Tuesday, yeah.
So that's what, 3 days? Yeah. They've had 2 rest days, that's not enough.
For us, that 5-day gap from Arsenal to City is a gift. I thought the only time that we might suffer with legs was yesterday with Arsenal, because that is only 3 days after Newcastle. You know, I did those overview shows and we all went, which is the game he'll rotate? And Neil Jones was going, I think Arsenal. He rightly called Arsenal being shit, but he said, I think he can make all sorts of changes for Arsenal. He didn't. He stayed strong every game. I think on the basis that he can now say to them, it's just 5 days is virtually a full week off, isn't it?
It's a full week. It's unheard of.
It's like Monday, Saturday, isn't it? It's the same thing. I always like to do that psychological realignment just to assure myself. But he can more or less go and have 2 days off, go and get pissed last night. Let's go for a big meal, mad meal and an ale up. You can almost give them New Year's Eve, can't he? It's a nice gap, that. I think Wolves coming early on the Friday was a real bonus as well.
It's just being perfect. So you say, don't get carried away. You're like, okay, well, you know, and then you look and the referees don't give Liverpool pens at home. Fucking hell, we've had loads.
We didn't have any for about a year and a half, and we've had 3 in 2 games.
Fair play to the referee, though, because that first one, the easiest decision in the world is not to give that, because everyone's been crying about Salah. And and the easiest decision, and he just goes, well, it's a pen. It fouled him, yet,
you've just fouled him the penalty. What I enjoyed about both the pens was you've just fouled him the penalty area.
It's a foul.
Yeah.
He was stood in front of us for the second for the Lovren one. He was like, you pushed him in the back.
Yeah.
You see him? And he went like that. What do you want me to do? He's like, I've got to give it. You can't push him in the back.
He was like,
well, it's our lass.
Yeah.
Like,
yeah.
Oh, no.
Yeah. Oh,
I'm
going to
give it.
Don't push him. Yeah, don't push him. Don't go in soft.
Yeah. Our equaliser, by the way, because that's one quite one of the maddest goals I've ever seen.
Yeah, it was.
It was like something in the playground.
Time, wasn't it?
It was. I'd have to say most of those goals, I didn't celebrate them for about 20 seconds after
he. Oh, I didn't know if he'd give that. What was he pointing at?
I physically restrained Adam. And he was fuming because he didn't get a chance to celebrate. Because by the time I unleashed him, I was like, lad, he hasn't given. He's disallowed it. And Adam was trying to jump up and down, and I was stood on my chair with my hands around his arm saying, lad, he hasn't given. And then looked at the line and went, oh, fucking hell, he has.
Everyone was sitting down.
Fuck's sake, lads.
I can't believe he gave the Mane one. You know what you're seeing? I know they're not offside. They're perfectly correct. But at the time, you think, oh, if they got a reason to not give that, they'll not give that. But every single one of them has not give that, has he?
That first goal was wild. I had 20 seconds of not getting off, genuinely just staring at the liner. Like, you're going to do something here. I don't know what it is, but yeah. You're going to do something.
Because nobody actually strikes the ball.
No.
That made no sense.
One of the Arsenal defenders tried to clear it, didn't
it?
It hit Mustafi and then fell perfectly for Firmino running onto it. But Mustafi was claiming something. I'm thinking, what are you claiming for?
Yeah.
Are you saying you've handballed it? Is that what you're saying?
Yeah, I couldn't work out what was going on there. And yeah, it was one of the glories of the we all do this thing where we say, oh, sometimes you can appreciate things much better in the ground. I tell you what, a lot of people watched that on telly had a greater sense that was a goal that counted before I did. Yeah. Almost everybody on the planet knew that. Carlos Puyol knew that was a goal before I did. Yeah. I was very much...
Back on his armchair in Barcelona cheering on the Reds.
Yeah, having a lovely time watching this football team, cutting loose, having little chats with Luis Garcia, maybe via DM, agreeing to meet up in the near future. What's his midfield for Manchester City? He's going to play the front three. We know what the back four is. I'd be amazed if there's any surprises in the back four. I'd be amazed if there's any surprises in the front three. What's his midfield three?
You know, he's got the option of going a clean, fresh three. He could go for... He won't do this, but it just shows the squad. He could go for Fabinho, Keita and Milner if he wanted to, just to have total freshness. I'm not saying you should do that.
Fabinho started that game.
Henderson.
You mean Henderson?
Sorry, other way around. Yeah.
Henderson, Keita, Milner, yeah.
Actually, that sounds better.
well, I think it's going to be two, because Wijnaldum's going to play.
I think he's going to go... I'm not sure... I think he's got a choice. He may go Wijnaldum and Fabinho, who have been good in tandem. But then again, is he going to leave Jordan? But I think he's picking Jordan.
I think he plays Henderson.
Yeah, I think he would have. I think he plays all three.
I honestly think he'll play all three.
Yeah, I just got a feeling he might play Naby. I don't know why. Because I think Naby gives him the good balance between going the 4-2-3-1 and the 4-3-3. He's the sort of link player in those two formations.
It's fascinating. I don't know.
Isn't it?
What is he going to do?
I was pretty convinced he was going to go Henderson, Fabinho, Wijnaldum. And now I think he might find a way to get Keita on the pitch. And I think it might actually be ever so slightly dictated by what happens between Southampton and Man City. Like, I think if Southampton beat City, I think he might just think, fuck it then.
Yeah.
Let's try and win the game. Let's absolutely go all out to win the game. And not just have a little bit of a, you know, like, because what's the worst case scenario? If Southampton got something against City, what becomes the worst case scenario in terms of how many points it is?
Do you know what I do, right? I play super conservative for City because I think this is a game you take the draw all day long, given we have the lead. Yeah, whatever happens in Southampton, all of us would take the draw now. You'd be mad not to because it maintains a 7-point lead, okay? Given that that's the priority, and that they will come on to us, I would go with a front three. I put Keita in the front three. So I play Salah and Mane as a front two. And I'm actually playing a 4-4-2. I'm playing a 4-4.
Do you know what you'd do?
Yeah, I do. It's 4-2. Okay, I thought about this indeed. I'll maybe explain it more clearly. A 4-2-2-2-2, or whatever you want to call it. All the sentiments. Oh, I'm playing four sentiments.
I mean, if we get away, we're playing 13 lads. All the best to us.
I'm playing four sentiments. Listen, I'm playing four sentiments and two up front.
So you wouldn't play Firmino? You dropped Firmino?
Yeah. I'll bring him off the bench to do bits. Yes, definitely.
From Man City away, where he loves the Etihad.
I love it.
I'm playing four sentiments. I'm going Chelsea, vintage Chelsea. But one of them is Keita, who I believe can get forward for you.
Carl, what are you doing?
I really liked Henderson and Wijnaldum and Firmino at, was it Wolves? I think that's the midfield he played at Wolves. He played Firmino and Henderson anyway.
Firmino and Henderson was Wolves. Wijnaldum doesn't start Wolves.
That's right, sorry, yeah, but I thought that worked really well. And it depends whether he wants to guard the midfield rather than force the issue. So I think you're right. I think it depends on today, what Danny Ings does. This is all up to Danny Ings.
Yeah, I mean, a lot of things.
And literally no one else.
Anyone else got any bad shouts?
I think you might take Firmino out.
Do you?
Yeah.
And play.
I think he'd be a little bit worried about if anyone's going to swarm you. Yeah. I think if City are looking to set up against Liverpool and they think Firmino's going to play, they're going to set traps around him because he's been really good, don't get me wrong, but I still think he's possibly slightly susceptible to people pressing him. And the one team he doesn't want to get pressed against.
And you know their midfield already.
Yeah.
There's not many surprises with their midfield.
I think the conservative move is to take Firmino out.
Well, you go for experience as much as anything, I think. I know there's a rawness still. Firmino looks like he's about 32, doesn't he? But he's actually 23.
Yeah.
So there's a rawness there with him, which people, I think, take for granted.
Yeah, got caught a bit yesterday.
Yeah. Yeah, he's entitled to. But I broadly agree with you. I'd be a little... Let's put it this way. I'd want him the slightly more attacking Fabinho if you're going to have him. I don't want him the last man.
No, I think that's why I think Henderson plays. I think he might just almost go Henderson deepest with Fabinho and Wijnaldum maybe a little ahead and give it a little bit of license. I what's good is that, you know, I know who I don't want to see. The only one I don't want to see particularly, and we won't see, is Lallana getting dropped in from nowhere. Apart from that, if Milner just reappears, I don't think any of us would be going, oh God, we'll go. Well, we understand what the purpose of that is.
Shaqiri won't start.
I'd be surprised if Shaqiri starts, but if Shaqiri does start, you'd be going, oh, let's have a bit of this then. Let's have a little look at this.
It'll be interesting. If we start Shaqiri and we play that sort of half shape that we played yesterday, that suggests that he thinks City are they're done and he can get something by attacking. And if he goes the 4-3-3 and it's Henderson, Wijnaldum, Milner, or one other, that suggests he thinks this game could be anything and I need my team who are sort of the most, who know the positions, how to defend the space best. So I think it'll be interesting.
Okay, I'm not going to ask you for predictions. It's ages away. We can all for instance go out to the ale. Till then, oh, there we are. You've got to give me one. Thank you. Go out in the ale, do New Year's with the lads. It's because the government's having them round. Big everyone for them. Jono's going to make them a second Christmas dinner. Everyone's going to go sick. Cut loose. Liverpool are the best team in the country. This is the Anfield Rap in association with Reds. Beth, thanks to everyone who's in the room. Liverpool are the best team in the country. Sports Social Podcast Network.